Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, church. How are you on this crisp winter? Autumn day. If you're new, a special welcome to you. You just missed, as you saw on the screen, our new people's lunch was last week. But there's another one coming up, don't you worry. Ben, great job offering. Ben has this new phrase that, again, was the new people's lunch last week, is, we keep your children safe. Is your children are safe with us, which feels so scary, doesn't it? Like, why you got to say it? But your children are safe with us. Hopefully you love the person you're sitting with. You're going to be here for the rest of the day. And it's going to be good. We've been doing a series called Breaking Ceilings over the last 2 weeks. Pastor Benara has shared on week one around hunger, week two last week around forgiveness and how unforgiveness stops us from getting everything that God has called us to be. And me and Pastor Benara this week were talking about his messages he's going to be sharing after Mother's Day. And one of the things that I think is interesting is the ceilings that we've been talking about, and the ceiling that we'll talk about today and the 3 weeks after Mother's Day, the ceilings don't simply just stop us from growing. The roof is on fire. It's not simply that unforgiveness stops you from growing. Unforgiveness will shrink you. It will collapse. A lack of hunger won't just stop you from accessing everything God has for you. It'll shrink your world until you need a weighted blanket and dimmed lights. It'll make you... Unforgiveness is toxic. It'll shrink you. It'll kill off the life that is left on the inside of you. And around this series, it's not simply about God's got great things ahead of us. He does. This is about breaking ceilings so that we can access the Father's favor in a more sonship, more daughtership way, that we would be open to any provision or promotion, protection or presence that he wants to pour into us. But I want to encourage us to be aggressive when it comes to breaking through our own ceilings. And this morning, we're going to look up to our screen as I read this scripture, then we'll pray. In Galatians 5, I think, 6 maybe. Have you got a Bible? I've got a Bible because I'm a pastor. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law." The scripture in Galatians is to some degree contrast by 1 Corinthians 13, which gives us the gifts of the Spirit. And here we have the fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, things of hospitality or words of wisdom or tongues or interpretation of those tongues or prophecy. If you have to choose between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, one is not as good, and it is the gifts. I know we're Pentecostals, calm down for a second. Let me just tell you that love is more important than administration. The joy is more powerful than prophecy. That self-control is more important than your ability to teach others. That the fruits of the Spirit, how do you base that on, Joel? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 ends with, "Let me show you a better way." It lists all the gifts, and we feel like, yeah, the gifts, get the better gifts. And then it says, oh yeah, by the way, let me show you something that is better than you and all these little gifts. These gifts that give you a title, these gifts that give you power, these gifts that allow you to be a mule for Jesus, carrying him to people. that the fruits of the Spirit working in our lives, I dare say, will always be a greater testimony than your ability to have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. It is a greater miracle to have self-control in the face of temptation than it is to be able to do a three-point sermon. The peace of God is going to be more powerful, more effective than simply you being used in a pastoral way to others. That God is interested in the life of a Christian bearing much fruit. It's actually not your ability to have gifts or talents that will make you different. It is bearing the fruit that Jesus followers have. So if you have to choose, which you don't, but if you do, choose fruit. Choose producing things in the unseen that show that you've been connected to the vine. Because you can mimic a gift, and you can be used for a gift in moments, instants. We do an altar call today. You come up and God will use you. It doesn't mean you have patience tomorrow when you need it. So this morning, we're going to talk about some things, but I just want to lay that foundation. Can I pray for us this morning? Is that okay? Holy Spirit, you are here. And we are interested in being changed and transformed by you. We are interested in breaking ceilings that are stopping us from being who you've called us to be. And I thank you this morning, Jesus, that you are here to empower your church. We don't simply need to break through ceilings with our own strength, that you have given us a spirit of self-control, of discipline, of courage, of boldness. And we pray this morning, Jesus, you would empower us to break off things that are chaining us down. That when the world looks at the church would have fruit that is different. Not words saying how good we are, but fruit proving the goodness of our hearts. This morning, would you have your way? Would you speak to us? I pray for every person in this place, every person listening online, our podcasters. I ask that you would change us this morning by your power, by your presence, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Thank you, Robin. Fantastic. On our screen is going to appear the greatest band of all time, statistically. I know some of you are like, One Direction, talking to you, Paul Stewart. The Beatles formed in late 1950s, early 1960s, sold 185 million albums. Does anyone remember what albums are? There we go. Who has no idea what a CD is? Okay, thank you. Awesome. Just me neither. I'm young. There's a few people putting their hands up that no. You're like, yeah, I know records instead. No offense to you and your records. The Beatles sold 185 million albums. In the 4 years that they toured, only 4 years, they visited 15 countries, 90 cities, and performed 815 times in 4 years. That's a few times. That's as many times as Pastor Nat has performed at our church. But millions of times he's worshipped on top of that. It's a weird statement. The Beatles are known as one of these amazing bands that that broke England into America, that had the first real fandom and people chasing them in the streets. They travel, they visit around. They didn't last forever. They only lasted about 10 years. Actually, they lasted 7 years, 7 months and 24 days, if you want to be really specific, as the Beatles. But these four guys, Paul, everyone say Paul, Paul Stewart, John Levitt, awesome, George Agajani, if you know who that is, and Ringo, and our Ringo, obviously, this morning is Pastor Nat. Awesome. But one of the things that's interesting about the Beatles is not how quickly they were famous. The preparation season of the Beatles is interesting. At a very young age, they were formed around 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And when these guys started to perform, they got a contract in Germany. So they went from Liverpool to Germany, not Liverpool as in like Liverpool here, Western Sydney. No. They went to Germany and they performed over an 18-month period in these five trips. And often on these trips, they performed 8-hour sets 7 days a week for months at a time. Just again, 8-hour sets 7 days a week for months at a time. In fact, over these five trips, before they became the famous Beatles and kind of broke into America and then around the world, in these five trips, they performed 1,100 hours in 18 months. So just for an equivalent, that's like being in our church worship team, rostered on fortnightly for 141 years. They put in an extreme amount of unseen, unknown work that prepared them. John Lennon actually said before they went to Germany, before they performed in this way, they didn't know how to perform in front of people. They didn't know how to engage. They were nervous. They didn't know songs. But obviously, if you have to perform for 8 hours, you need some songs, which if you listen to some of the Beatles songs, you're like, yeah, you just made that one up. As you went, because you need 100, so of course you've got a new song, blah, 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 and like that's what it is. Again, no offense if you're some angry people, Nick and Dot Kelsey right now, sorry. Don't know what that's going to do, but it stopped, whatever. Okay. It's interesting that the unseen, that the behind the scenes prepared them, because often when it comes to Christians, Jesus followers, it's our unseen that actually corrupts us. It actually undoes our legacy rather than creates it. It's our lack of discipline when no one is watching that stops us from becoming everything God's called us to be. And it doesn't take too many current affair episodes for you to watch and hear of the latest pastor, the latest church, the latest leader that has had a moral failing, a financial issue. It is our unseen that often is our undoing. And this morning, I want to share a simple message entitled The Cheese and the Cat, all about breaking the ceiling of addiction. Oh, that's the silence I like in church. This morning, I pray that God would do a powerful and fresh thing in your life, that the things that no one sees, the things that you use to cope, would break today. That you would realize that you are not alone, you're not abandoned, that He is able to break the chains in your life, that He surrounds you, that He doesn't want you to perform for Him from a distance, that He is interested in you producing spiritual fruit rather than just being used in your spiritual gifting. Does that sound okay this morning? And if you know of anyone's addiction, you just turn to them right now and be like, this is for you, this is for you. Just make sure you don't reflect on your own heart this morning because that's going to be super uncomfortable. On our screen is a scripture in Proverbs 4. Is that 4? 4 verse 15 and 16. What's this doing? Get out of here. Proverbs 4 verse 15 and 16. Yeah, sounds good. Let's go 14 and 15. That sounds better. It says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your own way. What's that car ad? Go your own way. Sing it, church. Amazing. It's amazing that our worship can sound so good. Like, what a miracle. But when we're left to ourselves, the spirit of pitchiness attacks us. There's a whole bunch of vices and things that even as Jesus followers, that when no one's watching, when there's this unseen Paul describes it a very unusual way, to know what you ought to do and still not be able to do it. There's things of drug and alcohol abuse. There's simple addictions to dopamine, so you can't get enough of your awesome piece of glass that some of you are tapping on right now. There's all types of binging, binge eating, binge Netflix, binging your own feelings is one that is famous in our society right now, to be fully enveloped by how you feel, to have that as your idol, if you will. They could be addictions of sexual immorality. They could be issues of pornography. They could be addictions that simply stop you from truly being the person that God has called you to be. So it doesn't matter what favor he pours onto you. It doesn't matter his presence being there, or his provision being there, or his protection being there, or his promotion being there. Those things eventually expose what path you are walking on. Whether you are keeping in step with wicked ways or you are avoiding them, not traveling on them and fleeing away, running from them. These different types of addictions may not seemingly rip you off today. In fact, you may think they are making it possible for you to cope, but eventually they will be your undoing, because the Bible has a different word for addiction. The Bible uses the word idolatry. Idolatry is simply placing something in front of Jesus that we choose to worship. And it doesn't matter what that thing is, anything in front of him becomes idolatry. Maybe even your addiction is just not taking a Sabbath, not resting, not having margin, not dreaming, and just filling your life with more and more busyness and more noise and more hustling and more working for Jesus. And the truth is, anything that attempts to replace Jesus but isn't Jesus will result in a destination that is simply not really where you want to end up. So for a moment, I want you to consider, are there any ceilings of addiction that are stopping you from entering into what he has called you to be and to do? And it could have been triggered by trauma. It could be your response to depression. It could be your response to anxious thoughts. It could be your response to feeling isolated and alone and abandoned. But Jesus is perfectly able to meet you. He is perfectly more potent than any other assistance. He is a better comforter than any other comforter. He's better than a weighted blanket. He's better than a medication. He's better than 6 hours of TV. He's better than any vice. He's better than any cage. He's better than any chain. He's better than any coping mechanism that you do in your life that eventually separates you from your King. So this morning, the truth is that if we're real with ourselves and real with him, maybe we can open the door to let him in to do what he needs to really do on the inside of us. There's so many different resources to help you with addiction, from things like Alcoholics Anonymous through to things of, on our church website, we have a resource page. If you go down to the very bottom, and there's a church resource called XXX Church, which is to help people with purity online. That has accountability software. You can have a few different people that, if you visit certain sites, it sends an email to the people that your accountability people are. It'll help you. There's resources of someone like Craig Rochelle that has three awesome sermons around addiction and breaking online addictions. There's so much resource, but today I don't simply want to talk about gifting all the fruit. I want to talk about what occurs underneath. The why of why this matters is on our screen right now. The why is just because you're saved, it doesn't mean you're not stupid. You can be saved and stupid. You can be saved and stupid. And you'd be like, oh, Pastor Joel, you can't say stupid in church. I agree. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Isn't it great when you can find a verse to back up what you wanted to say? A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man or those who devise wicked schemes. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction or hates discipline is stupid. Let me use the word stupid to blanket over all types of addiction. And if you're like, no, my addiction isn't stupid, let's have a debate afterwards, I guess. Let's just use this word to describe knowing what you ought to do and not doing it. Going down a road that is never going to lead you to the correct destination. Let's just call it stupid. Stupid, by definition, a lack of intelligence. Sounds good, Mark? Mark's on board. Stupid, love it. Can't get enough of it. Yum, yum, yum. You can be a Jesus follower, but still allow your mind to be taken back from submitting it to Him and choose to go down that path and then go in that cycle and then find yourself back at the very place that you said you were going to be not back to. And then there's so many different reasons why you may have addiction. They might even be as simple as you don't understand that when your day begins, your willpower is awesome, but as your day goes, your willpower decreases. That's why some of us struggle with dessert after dinner, but we don't struggle with dessert after breakfast. For the pre-married couples, we struggle with purity when the sun goes down and the movies come on, but we probably don't struggle with it at a cafe for breakfast. You struggle what you look at online probably when your willpower is the lowest rather than when you've had a good night's sleep and you are rested. You think better earlier. And you'd be like, I'm a night owl. You show me your achievements that occurred after 7 p.m. You tell me them. Let's see if that's even true at all. You just think they're good. Has anyone had like world-changing ideas at 2 a.m.? And then you wake up and you're like, that's illegal. I can't do that. That's stealing dogs and reselling them. I could make money, but I didn't think I'm allowed to. You can be saved and still go down thought processes, habits, addictions that are less than what you're called to be. And recognizing them is one thing, but that doesn't make you impressive. You can go out to a dinner and be like, I shouldn't have dessert, but I'm going to. Being aware of what your vice is doesn't make you smart or wise. If anything, someone at that dinner needs to be like, well, no more sugary treats for you. Like, you can't sleep, you're struggling, you need to maybe stop eating after lunchtime or something. I love discipline because I'm not stupid. Alex hates my type of discipline. For example, I have a case at home. It's called my phone case. It's a hard box that I put my phone in often and I'm no longer contactable from the world. That includes my children's school. It includes my wife. And I just am disconnected. It is a discipline in my life not to worship a piece of glass in my pocket. And in fact, I would get rid of it if I was allowed to, but I'm not. Some of us love the dopamine hit to such an extreme. Even I read this book a couple of weeks ago that describes, you know when you're hungry? You're like, I'm hungry. Rumble, rumble, rumble. In this book, it quoted a study that only 20% of the time that you say you're hungry, are you actually hungry? 20%, because it is built into our bodies. Even when we see food, I might not have food later today, I might not have food tomorrow. It is built in to eat more than we need. Because what if What if a village comes and steals our harvest next tomorrow and then I can't eat? I've got food here, I've got to eat it. But the truth is, all you got to do now is like pull out your bit of glass and go bing, bong, bing, bong, bing. And then someone brings donuts to your door and you're like, well, yeah, but I have too many of these again. Like there's, whatever your binge is, whatever your thing is, it is important to recognize that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is not telling the world how ungodly they are. The fruit of the Spirit is not to get in a greater uproar about what's happening in a school or what politician you don't like today or how the world is going to hell in a handbasket. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. I have to be in a panel in a few months' time. We can edit this out. I have to be in a panel in a few months' time talking about gender and sexuality and how the church and how this generation can speak to it in our world. But my opening line lets me test it on you, that the church doesn't have a moral leg to stand on to critique the sexuality of the world when our divorce rates are just as high. When it's not rare for someone in my type of role as a pastor to have another affair. That we have to have self-control inside of the house as Jesus followers to produce the right type of fruit, that we don't need to critique the world. The world will come running to follow your lifestyle because the fruit that it produces is the fruit that they promise but can never deliver on. It's the peace that you can't get anywhere else. It's the joy that you can't find in anything else. It's the protection, the provision that He gives as a shield and the fortress that you can't provide for yourself. Because just when you've got your finance under control, your health falls apart. Just when your health is good, a bill comes in. The world cannot give you the protection that Jesus promises. So, you can be saved and stupid. The why this morning of why I think it matters to break addiction is on our screen. It's red. Sorry, the how. This is the how. Cheese, cat, community, and calm. Four C's, just for you. CC's. Is that a bicky? Is that a chip? Chip? Oh, yum. Corn chips. There you go, for you. Anyone hungry now? Anyone love worshipping their tummies? No, okay, cool. Cheese, cat, community, and calm. I listened to a short video this week on someone commenting on a study. I went and tried to find the study, couldn't find it, don't think it exists, but we're going to use it anyway. And they described this study where they had a mouse, singular of mice, in a tube. And what they did is they dangled cheese at one end of the tube and measured the time from the mouse to get to the end of the tube. And what they found is they went fairly quick. But when they put a cat at the opposite end of the tube, the increase of speed that the mouse did, because it went probably into fight or flight, because mouse are cowards and they would never fight a cat. But how delicious is cat, by the way? No, sorry, I don't know. The dog lovers might have liked that comment, but cat lovers, not so much. I have this saying, why the cat's away, the rats will play, which is when Pastor Brian and Charlie are away, the rats will play, and that's me, watching online. Thank you, Pastor Brian and Charlie. That when you have something that you are in danger of, when there is a fear, you are motivated to move forward in a better way. And a problem is, with most of the things in our life that really matter, we don't have the danger or the deadline in place. For example, one of the things that matters to me as a married man is my marriage. But what's the deadline? The deadline for the sermon today is pretty clear. Like, I had to have it worked out by 10:30. What's the deadline of a successful marriage? For parents in the room, you want to be a good parent. You want your children to love Jesus. You want them to be whole. You want so many different things for them. But what's the deadline? Is it their 18th? Because, man, they're staying at home these days. Some of them are building little caravans to stay there even longer. What's the deadline to be a good parent? What's the deadline for your dream? What's the deadline for these things that matter? Because your work little project has a clear deadline. You stress, you freak out, you run to the end of the tube, you get it done. So you don't get fired, so you end up on the streets selling your toenails. I don't know if that's a thing. So what do we do when the most important things in our life don't have a deadline? What is the deadline for you to overcome your addiction? I don't know. I'll have a good run for a little while, but then I tried. What's the deadline? There isn't one. So we struggle because we know that there's provision, we know that there's protection, we know that there's promotion, we know that there's favor, we know that there's peace, we know that there's joy and self-control. We know that there's Jesus at the end of the tube. But we have a problem staying self-disciplined or having self-control because we don't know the danger. So what we need to do is, firstly, community. We need people around us if we're going to break addictions. The best thing to do to something that is hidden in the darkness is to expose it to light. If you think, no, everyone's going to hate me and everything's going to fall apart, then especially you need community. Because you've bought into lies that you are saved by your good works. You are saved by His grace. Now you are saved for good works. So now let's submit to Him and His grace. Let's get the people around us so that we can be everything God's called us to be when no one's watching but Him. Because we're all going to go spend eternity with Jesus, but maybe some of us struggle to spend 10 minutes with Him today. That when the audience is really just us and Him, you couldn't post it on Instagram. You couldn't show everyone it. You wouldn't want it exposed to the light. A great thing for you to do with addictions, with things that are vices, with idols, is to get someone next to you that you choose to trust and say, "Can you help me?" The Bible describes two types of loads. One is a backpack that you carry, and the other one is a boulder that you need help to push up a hill. And with addictions, you need to recognize this is not a backpack and a burden for you to carry. You are unable to do it. You have tried. Now get someone next to you and overcome the boulder. Break through the chain. Get out of the cage and then don't secretly lock yourself back in it when no one's watching. And then wonder why Pastor Benai is going to attack these things in 2 weeks' time, why things of shame and the voices inside of our head. Why they play, they start because we are something when no one watches that we're not proud of. And we don't have to let that person exist. We can bring him or her into the light. And the reason why calm is on this board, if we want to overcome addictions, we need to stop and create a little bit of margin to consider the danger that we cannot currently recognize. It's an awesome verse that says, "Tomorrow has enough worry of its own." Do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worry of its own. That is not an excuse to be like, it doesn't matter where I end up. It doesn't matter where the goal is. It doesn't matter where the end is. It doesn't matter about my disciplines to get there. That's not what that scripture is talking about. And I want to encourage us this morning to, we're going to take a moment because I don't know if you have the life architecture to take a moment with God tomorrow morning. I don't know your schedule. I don't know where your margin is to apply what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, so we're going to do it in the room. But to sit in a calm moment and consider where you will end up if you don't fix and change your disciplines today. If you're married in this place and you're a Christian, your percentage is equally as likely as the world's to end in divorce. So the cheese is a great marriage, But at the other end, if you just stay where you are, if you don't prioritize those things, if you don't value those things, if you don't do a date day or find some time or do that stuff or invest or challenge each other to go into your callings and make room for those things and give each other rest and champion and encourage. And if you don't do those things, that cat is on its way. And if you can be calm and sit, you can give yourself a little bit of space to consider the future dangers. One of the most common questions that Pastor Benaiah and I get asked is, how do you stay motivated in your walk with God? You recognize the cat. How do I stay motivated in my finance and being a good steward of it? Because I don't want to be where I started. How do I prioritize my parenting? I understand what most pastors' kids say about their parents' parenting. So I need to do something intentional today to combat it. For me and Alex, that was me taking time off until Ellie started school. So for 7 years, a day a week to be with our kids, extra on top of everything else we were doing. Because I know how people, how kids view their pastor parents. So I'm a pastor, Alex is a psychologist, so our kids are halves, a pastor's kid and a psychologist's kid, and that's, that could be the worst combo of them all. I don't know what the worst, dentist probably the worst, because they got that predisposition to think they're doctors and they get uppity about it. I could go through a few occupations right now, but I'm not going to. Teachers is going to be my next one, but there's too many teachers in the room. That I need to recognize the fear. And we've had these analogies a few times of like, who do you let in your car when you're going on your journey with Jesus? Don't let this person drive. Don't let this thing do. I want fear in the car. Fear's not driving. Fear doesn't get the steering wheel, but I want fear in the back seat to be like, well, Joel, you think you can handle that? What are your kids going to say about you? Oh, Joel, I want to be mindful of the cliff that I refuse to jump off because I'm not accessing Jesus' provision, Jesus' presence, Jesus' direction. I want it in the car. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want dad in the car. Like, I don't want dad in the car. Everything is amazing. I'm going to overcome. As long as you don't have little addictions on the inside and you're just denying them. No, let it in there. I don't want to be that type of dad. I don't want to be that type of husband. I don't want to be that type of leader. I don't want to be that type of man of God. I don't want to deal with my finances from miracle to miracle. I want to manage it in a way that is worship to Jesus. I want to be generous. I don't want to be stingy. I don't want to be counting my money. I want to be someone that uses what I have to bless others. Get the fear in the car. Recognize it. Because if you don't, you will sit in that tube and think, oh, it doesn't really matter. I'll get there one day. No, you will not. The roof is on fire. It is falling. That unforgiveness you need to deal with, that lack of hunger you need to deal with, and those addictions, if you do not, the tick clock of grace will eventually run out and you had hundreds of days to deal with it and one day that it was exposed and you weren't self-disciplined. So recognize the cheese of what God has for you. Recognize that there's danger behind you and there's a reason why God doesn't want you to walk on the path of the wicked and call yourself righteous. That there is a community of people that can get alongside of you if you refuse to try and do it alone. And if you would take a moment to be calm and still before Him, maybe you could be a part of the church that is ahead of the game, not reactory. Because the world doesn't get to dictate what are the hot topics of God's people. Don't buy into that. The church is infamous. Every 2 years, we get a new thing that we have to be really angry about. COVID was our last one. Oh, God, the government. There'll be another one. Stop letting the world dictate what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sit with Him. God, what in my life offends you? What log in my eye do I need to remove right now? God, is there anything in me that offends you? Because I want to have control, self-control of what you ask me to do. You're not going to heal me of things that I participate in willingly. You can't save me from the thing that I'm running to again and again. And I'm acknowledging, I'm saying this for you, but I go there. I need to do something different when no one's watching, so that when everyone's watching, they see you. scripture on the screen in Proverbs. In Timothy. It says something on the screen, but it's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. Do not be timid with your giants. Do not be timid with your addictions. Do not be timid with your idols. You have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You have a spirit of self-discipline." And if that scripture that we read earlier today in Proverbs is true, which I dare say it is, it is not there. It is over here. In Proverbs 12, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man." You want favor? The Father's favor active in your life, His ability to provide above your ability to provide. You want those things? It starts with loving discipline. And that discipline can come from someone else because your addiction is exposed. Or that discipline could come from you via the Holy Spirit overcoming so that you choose humility over humiliation. So that you choose to go a narrow road over what is easier. That you don't attempt to be a Jesus follower without the Spirit that gives you power, love, and self-control. For without Him, you cannot do it. You are just the world with an awesome label on. But with Him, He promises that you won't be timid. He promises that you will have power. He promises that you will have love. He promises that you will have self-control. And an altar call might help and community might help, but if you get back in that calm place with Jesus and begin to think about who you want to be and live out of that, ceilings will break, sure. Chains will fall. Prison doors will open. Things that used to hold you no longer hold you because you don't let them. You go to Him and you say, "Jesus, I need you right now. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I need you. You're strong enough." Psalms describes Him as the Lord invincible in battle. Okay, if you're invincible in battle, you take the lead in this battle. And this is how I fight my battles. I worship you. That when an addiction comes up, may I suggest some worship? Just take, if there's an addiction or a vice, just take 6 hours and worship. See if it's still there. I could never worship for 6 hours. Good luck in heaven. I don't know. The pitch? Have you read the pitch? Apparently we get robes up there. I heard there's harps involved. Revelation tells me that there's no water. So good luck for your perfect surf. All those people are like, perfect surf in heaven. Yeah, good luck. Dry surf. It's my heaven. Not drowning there. Like eternity with Him. Is that really enough? Because if it's not enough today to break things, what? Get it? Like, heaven, Jesus forever, today, Jesus at all? Yeah, Sunday, yeah, go to church, series, bring a friend. Tomorrow? Because I think we're going to, like, honestly, because of how consumeristic we can be, which is an idol in itself, I think we might get to heaven and be a little bit shocked because the service went over time for eternity. I know it's hard to tell when I'm joking, but I'm not joking. I don't know if I like that preacher. He said stupid today. I'm sorry. Give me a smack. I've been a naughty boy. I told 6 people that I was going to say that phrase from the pulpit today, and I just did it. But no, if I'm facing something, this is how I fight my battles. But I'm depressed. Awesome. cool, great, fantastic. Have you heard of Lamentations? Read Ecclesiastes. You're allowed to be. You're allowed to feel hopeless and broken. You're allowed to feel like the light is never going to come, but meet Jesus in it. Don't try and escape the valley. Walk through it. And be like, but it's hard, it's difficult. Good, perfect, great. He can still be there with you in the hard, difficult, and complicated, and crippling, and isolating. If he is not able on my darkest day, I don't want him. Because whatever that is, isn't him. That's some God that I've made up. I'm happy on Sundays, let me clap my hands. No, he's able in your darkest moment. He's able in your impurity. He's able in your brokenness. He's able in your addiction. Would you let his strength and his power and his love and his self-discipline overcome your timidity to kill those giants? Whew. And obviously, I have an addiction to being too funny, too cute. I don't know. Give me a smack. I've been a naughty boy. Second time. On the screen, if you need more scriptures, I like to give a show your work around these areas of what or the why or cheese cat calm. Or bonus, read Hebrews, read James. It'll give you a foundation on how to actually practically overcome these things. I've been told multiple times, Joel, when you share, it's so practical. Yes. I avoid impractical messages. True. Do something with what God is saying to you this morning. The challenge, it's on the screen, it's green, is don't disrespect. I'm from the streets. Discipline. Samson Crescent lives deep inside my heart still. Don't disrespect discipline. You lifting your hands today is not any more holy, and if anything, it is a lot less holy, set apart, than the discipline of do it when no one's watching. Do you ever know, like, let me just be honest, if you get to church, do you ever consider that God's like, whoa, what? Are we lifting our hands now, are we? We weren't doing that yesterday. Oh, we're singing praises. Oh, will we do that tomorrow? Oh, we're so free. Oh, whoa, but what when that Optus bill that's $10 more because you went over with your data by 1 gig? Do you have peace then? Do you have freedom then? Or do you see me there? Oh, I've got to make sure that my shirt is long enough so when I lift my hands, there's no tummy. I am pure. Are you pure when no one's watching? You've got the Bible app on your phone. What else do you use it for? We don't have an offering up here anymore. I love it. It's one of the great moments where we can't see you being like, look at me give, I love it. Are you generous when no one's watching? Would you give your offering online without writing your name in it? Would you go to his presence in pain rather than running to another idol? Would you take your hopelessness to him rather than trying to find your own way? I don't know. I just think he might be able for you this morning to break those ceilings, for you to be the actual church, to have the fruit that you so eagerly want but can't do by yourself. I'm going to invite the worship team to jump up as we finish today's service with worship. I just want you to close your eyes right where you are. I want to pray for two groups of people this morning. The first group of people is just anyone that needs to get right with Jesus. Just here's like, okay, Joel, I want you to pray with me. The Bible shows us clearly that Jesus came, that he died for our sins, and he made a way back to the Father, that through his death and resurrection, we can have relationship with God. And the only way to have relationship with God is to make him our Lord and our Savior, to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, to make him the one that helps us to turn from our sin and to walk with him all the days of our lives. And if that's you this morning, whether for the very first time where you just feel like, man, I've walked very far away, Let me just tell you, he is one turn and one step away. That you would just turn from your, God, I don't want to do this by myself. Just turn from it. Just turn from that idol. Just turn from you. And just say, no, Jesus, I will follow you. I've decided to follow you. If that's you, with every single eye closed, I just want you, if that's you, just to lift your hand so I know some people that I'm praying with. If you just need to get right with Jesus in this place. Awesome. Is there anyone else? Every single eye closed. Awesome. You can chuck them down. Is there anyone else for those four people that want to make that decision this morning? I want me to pray with you. You get right with him. This moment's for you and him. Consider it. If that's you listening online or our podcast, reach out to our church. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. Can we just repeat this prayer with those four people that made the decision this morning? Let's repeat this together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are able to save me. Today, I repent of my sin that separates me from you. And today, I make you my Lord and Savior. You're in charge. You're in control. Help me to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just stand together this morning, church? The second group of people is quite simple. If you can recognize this morning that maybe there is a vice, an addiction, maybe it's an issue with substances, maybe it's an issue with your attention, your focus, your worship. If you're really honest, your unseen being exposed to the light would not be like the Beatles, would not expose hard work and discipline. It would expose a lack of it, a dependency on things that are less than him. The worship team is just going to lead us through the songs that we sang already this morning. And my encouragement to you is just to fix your attention on him. Yes, recognize that there's great things ahead of you, the cheese. Recognize that there is a cat behind you that's going to lead you into brokenness, that's going to leave you at a place you don't want to be. Recognize that there's a community of people around you today that you should speak to. You should get help. You shouldn't do it alone. But this is a moment of calm. This is a moment of focusing your heart, your worship on King Jesus. Can we sing these songs together this morning, allowing Jesus to do what only Jesus can do? God, I thank you that we don't need to face any giant, any obstacle, any storm without you. It's not Christian, it's not good, it's living for self still. Self-discipline is not taking you and placing ourselves on that throne. And I thank you this morning that we're not alone. That in valleys and on mountaintops, you're there. We don't do this thing alone. And this morning, I just, may a moment drop, Holy Spirit, where we understand not for, you haven't walked away from us. You're not distant. We've never been alone. All eyes on you, Jesus. All eyes on you, Jesus. Every idol fall, every idol break, all eyes on you, Jesus. Thank 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 you, Jesus. God, we just take a moment to reflect. Bring our attention, God, to your ability to help us. Take a moment, church. Don't worry about anything right now. Just reflect. Is he asking you to walk away from something? is he asking, don't be in a hurry when he wants to say something. Let him speak. Let him speak to your idol. Let him speak to that cycle. Jesus, may we be self-aware enough to know that you are primarily interested in us, not moving through us. Our fruit being the fruit of the Spirit, our gifts being moving out of love. That you can use angels as messengers, but you want relationship with us. We're going to sing one last thing. So many of the songs we sing in church life have I and me and us in them. And some people hate that. More songs that say Jesus, and let's get more Hebrew songs in, yes. But there is no point in singing those songs when our hearts are far from Him. That when we don't understand that we're surrounded by Him, we sing the right words, but it's lip service. Singing the right lyric combination is not going to do it. He's okay with his sons and daughters having their hearts aligned so that their worship actually exalts him. I'm just going to ask the team to lead us just one last thing. It may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by him. I want us just to sing this together, maybe in the moments that seem valleys, for us to remind ourselves that even when armies surround us, that there is a Lord, a King of Kings, a Lord of Lords, a God invincible in battle, an army of fire that surrounds any obstacle, any challenge, any addiction, any failure, any idol, that he is able far above. Could we sing, "It may look like I'm surrounded"? Don't wait for the team. Let's sing it. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. Your word is not just good to our ears, but it is able to change us. So we pray as we walk out of this building, outside of these four walls, outside of 8 Bellevue Street, that your presence would be with us. We pray that we would be more aware of you, that we would face giants and overcome because we are on your team. And right now, God, I just commission our church for this week. Would you be with us? Would you help us? Would you guide us? I pray for protection over our church family. I pray, God, for fresh eyes to see opportunities to share your goodness. I pray that our church would be infamous for our fruit. May this week our self-control, our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, that all of those things would begin to flow afresh. We pray that our testimony would not be one of just great miraculous moments, but our testimony would be one of faithfulness to be a Jesus follower, unseen and seen. And I just pray, God, if there's anyone in this place that is desperate for community, to fight some boulders, to overcome some giants, I pray that they would have humility and courage today to step off a path that leads them down a road they don't want to go to, and courage to come alongside someone else and be like, can you pray with me? Can you hold me accountable? Can you stand with me? Could you walk with me? May your church be a place of courage, not of false humility, of false self-righteousness. May your church be courageous in her desire to be pure for you, Jesus. We thank you for everything you're doing. May the ceilings break off our lives in new ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said, man, we love you, church. If you need anything, we're here.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.